Welcome to another What's on Joe Mind Quick Hit. I'm Mike. With me tonight in the studio is Justin and Chuck. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. That's a bit of a choppy beginning for something we're not going to edit, but what can you do, you know?
It's the beauty of these quick hit things. You get what you get.
And we don't have the lovely ambiance of a customizing class with us tonight, but Justin, tell us what our quick hit's all about this evening.
Our quick hit tonight is we're going to make it pretty short and sweet because we're sure everyone's probably just waiting to hear the nitty-gritty from our guests tonight. We've got a Kickstarter campaign everybody should be pretty intimately familiar with. It's rolling until its last 9 days, and we want to make sure we give it a nice extra hard push at the end. So we wanted to talk about the Marauder Task Force Kickstarter, and we've got Dave Proctor from Boss Fight Studios, Sculpting Mastermind, and MJ himself, who's joining us to talk a little bit more about this Kickstarter phenomenon. So, guys, how you doing tonight?
Hey, fantastic. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Especially on such short notice. MJ reached out to us and said, hey, guys, let's do this. Let's get this one last plug in there. And we're like, yeah, great.
Oh, definitely.
Don't twist our arms, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the response has just been fantastic. I mean, it just comes back from, like, what we did with the original Marauder weapons. Just, you want gear for your guys, and after all those years of trying to find gear for my particular guys, now it's, I want to find guys for the gear.
Yeah. Pretty much. After last year's Kickstarter, I'm short figures. I got so many guns last year, I need more guys for my guns.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And then being able to work with Boss Fight Studio on the project, that was just, in and of itself, just a tremendous, windfall for us. Yeah.
So we'll hold that thought for now. We'll take us back to the beginning of the month. And I did communicate some with Justin that night, I remember. April 1st, of course, April Fool's Day.
Well, technically, I started it on March 31st because I wanted to be sure I got in before April 1st because I didn't want anyone to think it was a joke.
and that was actually what we said to one another. It's like, is that for real? It's April 1st, and Marauder John, or rather, Marauder Gunrunners and Boss Fight Studios have a Kickstarter together. And I know we both kind of did that thing where we hit ourselves in the face a few times and weren't quite sure what to make of it right off the bat. You were funded within 24 hours.
Yes, yes.
You hit your first stretch goal within 48 hours.
Yes.
Right this second, we are looking at $98,247 coming from 723 backers, 9 days to go, which means we are all the way up to – we have unlocked the fourth stretch goal. We're knocking on the door of the fifth.
Yes.
So John, or MJ rather, take us through the thought process. Well, you said a second ago, now we needed guns for the guys.
Yes, it came down. I remember we talked a while ago about why did Marauder Gunrunner start with a little individual weapons? Well, I wanted to find the certain weapon to use with my figures, and going all over, I couldn't find them, and when I did, they were $8, $9 each, and if you're building an army like I used to, 50, 60 figures, that can add up. So now leap ahead, 7, 8 years, and there were certain figures I wanted an army build. Well, I could, I army build 50, 60, 80 guys. I love the huge display, especially on the Marauder IDS stands. I couldn't find enough of the figures, and if I did, they were, $30, $40, $50 each, and I have a tough time buying a figure for $50 and ripping it out of the package just to set it up. It's just, it's tough. I do it. Don't get me wrong. I do it. But I said, maybe there's a way that now that we have a nice base, a library of weapons, we go out and see, well, what do our fellow adult collecting enthusiasts want? And maybe there is a demand for a whole bunch of urban figures, a whole bunch of jungle spec ops kind of guys, a whole bunch of night ops kind of guys that you can build your armies and customize the way you want, a la like we've done with our modular weapons. So that just started, that was bumping around my mind for the last, year or two. And then finally we got the ball rolling about, 9 months ago when I started talking to Boss Fight studio folks. And I said, this is what I want. And they were just, you know, tremendous, taking my, you know, my crude ideas and turning them into, like, in the Kickstarter, I say they take the, you know, I wanted the ceiling painted, and they gave me the Sistine Chapel. and that's really what it is. So, and I kept it all a secret and launched. I mean, there were only 4 or 5 people might have known about it because I wanted the surprise, but also, too, I didn't want people to expect it, you know, or say, well, what's going to happen here? No, just launch it, let everyone find out about it at once, and let it live or die on its own merits. So that was the reason behind the surprise.
So now, how did you go about reaching out to Boss Fight Studios? Just kind of, you know, see their names connected to some good projects and just...
Well, it has a reputation, but a friend of a friend, you know, I mentioned it to him, and he goes, well, I know them. I'll talk to them about it, see if they're interested. And they were, and we started the communication process going, you know, 9 months later, you know, here we are. So, and the thing that really talk about feeling proud of your product, when I found out that some of the Boss Fight folks actually were customers of Marauder Gunrunners, oh my God. I said, here are the guys who make some of the best things in the market, and they think the weapons we carry are worthy for their collection. So I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, we had I had actually helped participate in as a backer for John's first weapon Kickstarter that he did last year, and so when I heard that he was doing the gun the figure this time around, it was really exciting. I know the whole team was very excited to work with John, and we kind of hit it off well from the beginning.
All right, great bunch of folks to hang around. I mean, to visit with and talk to, because when you share so many interests and passions. Then you talk about a project, you work together, and you don't have any – the only, you know, constraints we worked in were just what we wanted to do, you know. And I'd go with, you know, I give them the original design idea. So I want a desert guy like this. I want an urban guy like this. I said, I'd like these three kind of helmets. I'd like these vests. And I wish there was some way I could do a whole bunch of different vests. And Andrew came up with a wonderful idea. He goes, well, how about, you know, you do your modular weapons. How about a modular – vest system, your accessory system. And then and David worked out the engineering side. So it's not just a round peg and a round hole. I mean, it's a multi-sided hole with a multi-sided peg, so it's not going to swivel or move around. When you put it in place, it's going to stay in place. And that just opened up the whole other realm of opportunities, because like we do other modular weapons, you know, the main reason we came out with those is you can mix and match what you want. And now having that ability on the figure, not only on the vest and the belt, but also there are these really nice designed mounting points on the shoulders and the thighs and the calves. So you can mix and match the accessories. So rather than having to get 5 different figures and cutting them apart and doing whatever customization you want, now you just go pick, I want this holster. I want this ammunition magazine. I want this empty magazine pouch so I can stick some magazines in it. Oh, I want it in this color. You know, rather than just be stuck with, you know, brown or green. Well, now you have tan, you have gray, you have, you know, hopefully we get to blue and we get to the white and these other stretch goal colors. So it's just, you know, there are a lot of incredibly talented customizers out there. And a lot of us, me, case in point, can't do that quality work. I can't do it. But now here's something I'll never achieve, you know, what Marauder Rubin does or what Kevin Watts does, those guys, what they do. But I can now, you know, instead of A-plus, you can do nice B-plus work with mixing and matching the vests and the accessories and the figures, you know, factory painted, and it's done.
Chuck, you got a question, bud?
Yeah, you know, I just have to ask, because, I mean, we were all surprised. Like, I mean, because we knew, I mean, we kind of knew that, you know, once the Kickstarter got out there, people were going to take to it. But were you surprised everything's moved so quickly? Because, I mean, it's like Mike said, the 24 hours, then it's like the 48 or so, and then it just kept boom, boom, boom.
Yes, very, very much so. The first 24 hours were like a whirlwind. We had put out our estimated goals, what we hoped to achieve within the first 24 hours, what we hoped to achieve in the first week, where we hoped, if everything worked in place, what we would have at the end. And the first 24 hours just blew away our estimates of the first week, you know. And now we're to the point where we put some very aggressive stretch goals out there. But, you know, if you're going to go, if you're going to go hunt Moby Dick, you might as well take along some tartar sauce, you know. So I said, if this is what I'd love to do. You know, we got these incredible sculpts. We got everything lined up. And if I can, if we can achieve this, I'd love to have the blue security SWAT guy. I'd love to have the Arctic guy. I'd love to have the, especially for the customizers, the custom ops figure where it's going to be tooled in a very light color. You can mix and match and paint and do whatever you want with it. Now there's just all these blank parts. And then we put at the very end, you know, the one of the armament goals. That means that if we hit the armament goal, every figure, whether you're lieutenant level or squad commander or vice admiral, you'll get a weapon and a pistol and an action figure stand for your figure. Now, that's the added bonus. And some of the really late stretch goals have new accessories, new weapons. So we just put it out there. But, again, the response has been overwhelming. The support, the level of support and the passion from our fellow, you know, collecting enthusiasts is just it's really humbling. It's humbling and it's overwhelming because you like the, you know, you kind of like Eisenhower. The day before D-Day, you're thinking, well, gee, am I going to write a letter explaining to all these people how all their sons got killed on the beach? Or say, hey, we now have a foothold in Europe. Well, before the Kickstarter went live, I said, well, I got two letters written here. One I'm going to say, hey, I tried. The other one, hey, look what we might be able to do. And right now, so far, I'm writing that letter. Look what we might be able to do. So it's very exciting and it's very rewarding.
And, John, just a few seconds ago, you mentioned a couple guys who I was happy to see and catch up with at JoeCon last week, Ruben and Kevin Watts. Ruben I hadn't seen in 5 or 6 years, so it was really a thrill to see Ruben again. And Kevin is always a stitch. We'd have had Kevin on, but we're not going to be able to edit, so that kind of rules him out. But we love you, Kevin. But what were their roles in this project?
They weren't look, Kevin knew from the get go. I was talking to the boss fight folks, but brought in Ruben a little bit later. But what I wanted is there are a lot of talented professional painters out there, okay? And I said, well, I can go that route, or how about people who are within the hobby actually paint the paint masters? So talk to them about the project and the items and giving them a sneak peek. And then I asked them if, you know, would you like to paint the paint masters? And they said, yes, they'd love it. And if you saw them in detail, if you saw them in person, the detail they did on those paint masters is just stunning. I mean, it rivals what some professional artists could do, you know. And that's what I really wanted. Like with the weapons, everything we make is – everything we bring to market is from suggestions. We've always been, we started out as collectors. We're still enthusiasts, and we always think of, like, what would we like with our figures? Well, now, what would we like on our figures? What would we like our figures using? Well, how would we like our figures to look? And getting customizers who have a passion for it and who are that talented to design them and paint them, I think that just that lends itself to all of the collectors, how they feel about them. Because, you know, I told, like, with Ruben, I said, okay, I'd like the urban guy to be gray with some kind of gray camo. That's it. Everything is him. I told Kevin, with a spec ops guy, I'd like him to have a camo, but I want his armor to be a very dark green. That's it. Everything else they did. They just took it and ran.
Now, do you think, and this question is going to kind of go out to both of you, because you both have very unique pieces of not just this project, but pretty much any project you work on. Do you think being a fan of what you're doing helps you kind of design a project that other fans can latch onto? And I think that applies to you, MJ, as well as to you, Dave, and how you address your sculpting techniques. I mean, do you think that helps?
Oh, go ahead, David. This is right in your wheelhouse.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think my whole career, I think being a fan has helped me, create the types of figures that I've been able to create over the years, as well as especially with this Marauder Force figure, as well as our Boss Fight Studio stuff. So it's really just kind of like we know firsthand what the customer wants. So, you know, we just kind of try to gear what we're doing to along that line so that we can hit that mark.
Right. And when I was working with David on it, we'd sit down and do this amazing sculptures on the screen. And there were things I always liked on figures. I always liked forearm armor. So if you're in a zombie fighting role, you got something you can stick into the zombie's mouth. You're not going to bite me. Here's my forearm on your teeth. I like if I'm going to fall down, I don't want to hit my forearms. Like I got the armor there, or like on the armor on the shins, that lends itself to, you know, slightly military futuristic look, but also sci-fi. Just depending on the paint scheme, it can fit in either world. But when we went down to the figures, the bells and whistles, you know, you talk about. Okay, the authentic details. Well, the authentic details are just the bells and whistles that made you happy as a little kid. You go, oh, that's so cool. Oh, my gosh, this comes off. Oh, this fits there. Oh, look at the color. I can do these things. Now, you move that ahead to the adult collector. Well, you still need to have all those, you know, the detail and authenticity as much as you can, but also what's cool. What have you always wanted in the figure? I mean, some of the helmets that I asked David about and able to bring forward, it's what I always wanted. You know, love the half-shell helmet. Love the armor helmet, which looks sort of like a German helmet with a lot of added, you know, features on it. But it has that, yeah, that can still look current. It can still work in a modern military, but, hey, it also has a sci-fi look to it. Or look at the colors, things there's to do on it. Same thing with the vest. So, you know, from the get-go, setbacks, what would be really cool for a figure that I would, if I saw it somewhere, I'd say, I have to have that. I have to get that. And we tried working very closely with Dave and the Boss Fight folks, you know, what was possible, what could be done. You know, yeah, there are, yeah, you could daydream all sorts of things, but, again, you want to bring it into what's going to have the most mass appeal to the adult collector, but also what can be done. So that's the standpoint we took with it. And also knowing that we were going to do several different paint applications, several different colors, that meant that any accessory you do had, you know, seven or eight other versions of it, just based on the paint you put on it. Or the color you make it. So I always wanted a lot of accessory options, a lot of way to customize those options, and a lot of different colors I could pick. Hopefully that's what we can get across. Or this is just the start of what we could do with the modern task force figure.
If I could add about the customizability feature, I remember John and I, MJ and I, talking on the phone at via Skype, going over the details of the sculpts and just placing different elements on the vest and the figure in different ways. And it became it really quickly became clear how fun it is to switch the elements around on the figure and sort of customize the vest and the gear as, you know, for each member of your squad. So I think that's something we really noticed right from the beginning with that customizable feature.
Right. Because even though I've admitted I'm not a very good customizer, I've gone through and taken figures, cut them apart just for a particular pouch so I can glue it onto this other guy's vest. Well, now you don't have to do that. You can pick your pocket and pick your pouch. You know, you can change the vest. And it's just... The way they were able to bring it into the prototypes and hopefully into the production, I think should really, you know, as fond of people are when we first started the modular weapons, we hope that the modular gear and the customization really it's about, it's a nerve.
Chuck, you're up?
Yeah, I this is actually a question I don't know if you can answer, so I mean I'll ask it anyway. I don't know if you've looked past the Kickstarter, but have you considered maybe reaching out to online retailers like Big Bad, Toy Store to carry the figures once things gets going, or you know online Joe stores like that?
That's definitely a possibility. With our normal Marauder generating business, we had to revamp our fulfillment warehouse and update our own sort of fulfillment service. You know, what we did here. We brought in more folks, and we were also getting ready for the figure. So here in the initial release, we want to keep the control and the sales and everything in-house, because we're very, you know, we're devoted to customer service. We want to be sure everyone has a wonderful experience. We value people who take the time to order our stuff. So, you know, if you ever dealt with us, you know, we go crazy for customers over emails and throw freebies in. We do everything we possibly can to let you know we appreciate, you know, you getting stuff from us. We want to be sure that that same level of attention is shown with this initial release. Now, if it gets so big we can't handle it and it becomes a customer service issue, then we'll quickly, you know, look at the other opportunities and go. But right now, like, we want to keep it in-house, and then if it gets legs and it grows, go to the next series, branch out the line, we do more, you know, things with Boss Fight. Yes, then it just becomes a where you just can't handle it, and then you need to get other people involved.
So looking again at the numbers, again, we'll say $99,000, right, as we go here, nine days to go.
Yes, sir.
What's a realistic goal? Where are you expecting the stretch needle to stop?
I'm looking at there are different projection tools you can see that look at Kickstarter programs, their track record, and what they've done. And look at the last two Kickstarters we've done, which on a much lower, you know, smaller scale. Mm-hmm. It could, if everything works out, ideally, yeah, we'd like to do 300,000. We'd like to be way above that because you bring more things to market. But if we can at least get into that, you know, $140,000, $150,000 range, that means we've unlocked at least one more figure. We've unlocked, I think, three or four more accessory sets. And that should just make about all of the accessories available for the figures that have been released. So that would be I think it's 165 is the Inez Irma level, which would get us all of the green accessories. And then after that, we get into the Arctic, and we get into the white accessories and the red figure and red accessories and stuff. So that would be nice. But even right now, we're thrilled with the support we've gotten. And hopefully more people learn about it and get in before it before the 9-day window.
You know, personally, I'm pulling for Guerrero at 135. I want to see what that blue figure looks like.
Yeah, you'll be very, very pleasantly surprised. Right now, I sent a prototype to Ruben, and he's working on that. We should have that done by this Friday.
Oh, awesome! Nice
images of that on the Kickstarter page and on the different boards.
Fantastic. Now, just kind of a technicality type of thing. Once the Kickstarter stuff is reached, will that provide you the backing you need to also kind of produce these above and beyond the Kickstarter, or is that kind of just going to be a wait and see thing? Like, what I'm saying is, you know, once these funds are reached and everybody who contributed to the Kickstarter gets what they need, does that then allow you to list these for sale singly in your store, or do you have to kind of take a wait and see approach as far as?
Oh, no, I'm like, after we fill and ship the Kickstarter orders, all the items are available on the website. Individually, all the different little pouches, pockets, vests, helmets, you get them individual, probably some sets, just like we do with our normal, with our regular gear now.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of this is, you know, the Kickstarter is not a way to generate huge profits and go on a, you know, on a massive vacation and buy that home.
Right.
It works out, it's break even at best. And most of the time it's not break even, but it just allows you to, you know, get, instead of standing still and trying to go, you at least got a running start at what you want to do.
Sure.
So, and the further we get ahead, you know, I can get more of those items. But I think of it like any release, you know, any release we've done in the past, outside of those Kickstarters, you know, you have to pay up front and then hopefully you do recoup your dollars. That's the same approach we're going to take here. I want to have all the items that we've done on the Kickstarter also be available on the site, you know, and have it be that, okay, people participate in the Kickstarter. Yeah, they got a better value. Yeah, the U.S. Customer, the U.S. participants got free shipping. And but afterward, those same items, yeah, they're a little more expensive. You're going to pay shipping, and all the individual little accessories, you know, they'll add up, but you'll be able to get them separately. And I think that's what a lot of folks are looking forward to, too. So, yeah, if you want to just treat this like you do our regular gear, hopefully going forward, it becomes a thing that works with our gear and just continues to grow.
Awesome. Chuck?
Well, you mentioned, like, the different color schemes that are available, and I'm just curious. I mean, again, I don't know if you can answer this, but we've got the basic trooper covered and how you can set them up all the different ways, but are you thinking maybe doing one that's like an underwater trooper with, like, a different design with, like, you know, a snorkel or however you want to do it, flippers, or, you know, something like that? Because, I mean, that's really the only one I can think of right now that's so different from, like, your basic ground trooper. I mean, I assume that would have to be, like, way down the line.
Well, not to read up, Andrew did an amazing design with the head that has the goggles and the rebreather on it. But if you look at that, the head looks good by itself, but you can very easily attach, like, a Navy SEAL rebreather that's attached to the swimming lung that's attached to the front of the chest and hook onto the little knobs on the mask. Okay? And you can put... You can have, flippers. You can do things like, just for the figure as it is, but also, too, if this continues to work, we can look into, you know, scuba figures or pilot figures or paratrooper figures, all these things. This comes down to getting a nice solid base and then just branching out with the accessories. So if you look at the designs that, Andrew and David were able to come up with, they lend themselves to being expanded upon as is. You know, you can look at if you look at the basic figure without any vest on it, okay, he has a nice like t-shirt, but also you notice it has a high collar rather than an open collar. Well, now depending on what environment you want him in, that high neck collar fits smoothly. So if it was just been like an open collar, well, all of a sudden you're very limited to like a military kind of role. Well, now you can do sci-fi. Now you can do superhero. You can do anything, or you can do, you know, the pilots, or you can do, it really opens up what are the kind of roles you have with them. So that's what we want for us, you know, as broad appeal as you could with those figures, and then just down to the accessories and the color you use.
We've also, like, in regards to some of the accessories, we've kind of built in some features into it to allow for growth as well, so that there's a lot of, as much as there is great interchangeability features amongst these accessories that are currently being shown in the Kickstarter. There's also room to expand on that should that be an option someday.
Yeah. You did an amazing job on, like, on the back of the vest. The three holes on the belt are all the same place on all three vests. So going forward, if you want, we have a larger backpack, we have one of those battle skirts that you want to dangle that attach. So all can fit in that spot. You like the higher pegs on the back. Yeah, so just this is the base, and now you can grow from that one.
There's also we designed the helmet so that the little mount there on top of the hat shell helmet, the half shell helmet, and the tactical helmet. Is actually a plug that is removable, so there are also several holes on the sides of some of the helmets as well, so that they leave options there for, you know, should another accessory be needed down the line that would plug onto the helmet, you could change that as well.
And that was a wonderful idea in David's part because, you know, I wanted some kind of mounting hole on the front of the helmet so you could put on night vision goggles later on, or you could do some other kind of attachment. And he said, well, you know, I didn't like the idea of a big hole in the front of the helmet, and neither did David. He brought it up first, because, you know, rather than a big hole that's always there with nothing in it, we'll do the mounting point as a plug, so when it's not used as the realistic-looking mounting plug, but then when the accessory is attached, the accessory has that mounting plug built into it. So it attaches, rather than always having a hole, well, now when it's in use, there's an accessory in it. If it's not in use, there's the plug is sealed. It just adds so much to it, other than just there's this big hole in the helmet of my guy. No, there's not. It's a nice little plug. It doesn't show.
Now, these guys almost seem like they know what they're doing, huh?
Well, it's, and in David and the Cook, they gave everything that kind of thought, like when they were sitting down looking at the, they gave that incredible leg holster, which is nice. We started talking. I said, well, you know, I like a smaller holster that I can attach to the vest. You know, I remember sitting down with David. He went and was doing the skull thing. He's fixing it. We're making it. He's making it a little smaller. I said, yeah, exactly. He said, now, can you give me a left and a right one? You know, just in case, hey, maybe someone's a lefty. Maybe they want to have, you know, two holsters on each of their leg. Or they want them. And it's just, you know, from that point, then Andrew said, well, how about the ammo bags, the ammo pouches that are empty so you can put stuff in it? I said, oh, my gosh. Put stuff in pouches. I think I have some ammunition magazines that might work for that. You know? And then David brought up, you know, I always like grenades, you know, but you know, I never like grenades molded on the stuff. I want to be able to grab it and use it. David said, well, how about, you know, how about some grenade loop? Because I have all we carry those grenades that have the open spoon that hook on the thing. I said, yes, this so it's written, so it shall be done. So we just started coming up with, you know, how about this? Well, that'd look good, but the back and forth, but also, again, them coming from it, was really helped out. Oh, and also, if you notice, you got to look at the, there are two different knife scabbards. One is larger, that you can stick on the thigh and the calf, and I have one on the spec ops, have it attached to the back, which I just think looks so cool. But the smaller one that attaches to, you know, the front of the harness or the front of the vest, the level of detail on that sculpt is just stunning. If you have like this, this little crosswork pattern, and that was done, I think that's the first time this was done, and it just looks, adds so much detail to that. That one little accessory just makes it jump.
Now, an interesting thing about this project is that, you know, it was done digitally. All the pieces were 3D modeled, then 3D printed. And so that afforded us to do some exciting new things and try to improve on some of our older methods that we had developed along the way in our past work. So, you know, and just, you know, some of these things, some of the fits and some of the thicknesses of the hats and helmets and things, it just, I was really impressed with the way that they turned out. You know, there was, for example, the beret is, I've made a handful of removable berets in the past. And I have to say this one fits the best, hands down. And I think that's largely due to the digital technologies.
And it doesn't look huge on the figure's head either. The most removable berets look removable because it's the size of a small trash can. You know, now, this one looks good on the figure and it looks good off. And, oh my gosh, when folks see, or those who have seen, the boonie hat in person, a boonie hat is tough to do. But what David and Andrew and the Boss Fight folks did with the boonie hat, it's just stunning. I mean, even down to, you know, the fabric stitching, the band, it looks great, and it looks good on the figure. It doesn't look too big. It doesn't look too thick. It's just right in scale with it. So I think when folks see them in person, or like I said, people saw the prototypes, pictures do not do the items justice. Like when it comes down to the goggles and the gas masks, you know, the first gas mask, you know, talking about, I really like the gas mask for guys. There were several designs, and we talked about it. I said, I like one that has, you know, it looks a little more modern day, but has like the dual filters on the side. This is not a problem. He's looked it up, and there it is. It is. You know, I keep coming back to it. I was just in awe of how quickly they will do this into house and the quality of it and the execution. And you can have an idea. I wish it would look like this. And talk to people, come up with sketches, go back and forth, and have it come out looking like that. And for my end, that was so.
Right from the beginning, when we first got in touch with John, we knew that the vision for his project was really great, and we wanted to pull out all the stops and really do a great job for him on this. And I feel like all the boss fighters involved on this, Andrew Franks did a great job with the design, delivering to John what he wanted, as a perfect product for his Marauder Gunrunners format, as well as the Fred Axon and myself really tried to plus up the sculpts as much as possible, because we really want John to succeed here with this, and we think, and heck, we want the figures, you know.
Yeah.
Itself, so.
That certainly helps.
But the toughest part I had is, you know, all the Paint Master prototypes we put up available for purchase, okay? Which is one of the most difficult things to do, but, you know, it's so cool. But I said, you know, they're going to sacrifice themselves for their offspring. You know, I think it was like the salmon who went up river. Okay? They did their job, they did all the fighting, they did the stuff. Now they got to pass on so their progeny can live. And that's what we had to do. So they're going to great homes, and I hope people are, you know, they're excited to get them, but they died so others could live. You know?
Yeah. For the record, that is one of the few times that I have seen Kevin Watts speechless. Was when he was standing there telling me that somebody ponied up $1,000 for a prototype that he painted.
Yeah, I'm looking at.
I mean, it was, you know, for a guy who Kevin is our friend, yes, but he's also one of my favorite customizers out there. And for that guy to just be standing there and to be, for Kevin Watts to be at a loss for words,
wow.
I mean, it's truly something special.
Doesn't happen very often, yeah.
No, but that's. I another thing, I wanted these out there. You know, I wanted people to see it. God willing, this works out and it has some growth to it. People will say, yeah, I have the Desert Ops Paint Master from the very first Marauder project. It's out there. They have little certificates of authenticity that are going to be sent with it. You know, just something, a nice little logo. And, you know, but just let it know that this is real, this is yours, and hopefully it has a lot of, you know, And offspring later on, if you use
it. Now, one question about the articulation a little bit. The torso joint, is there a specific reason why you can talk about anyway that you decided to eliminate the mid torso joint and just do like the kind of the ball at the hip? Is there a functional reason for that? Was it just kind of an aesthetic thing?
Three reasons. One, I think when they sit down and stuff, I like that look a little bit more. It feels a little more natural to me. Two, the vest. Everything is about how it fits with the vest. We had that chest articulation point. Well, now all of a sudden you have that vest on it. You really can't pose it when the vest is on it.
Right.
You can only have it sit. You can't really do any twisting, turning. Okay?
True.
But if the articulation joint is at the bottom, you're able to keep the vest on and swivel any way you want. And also, a third, that angle and that movement, I really like the poses you can get. You look at the guy, you're able to turn his ankle, you know, rather than the waist staying straight and then his shoulders are going a little bit at you, well, now his whole body is kind of tilting at you. It comes down to the little kid in me. What I like to play with? Okay, let me move a little figure like this, you know, besides the little kids. So when it came time to make that decision, the overriding thing was the vest and the accessory. You don't want any chest articulation to mess with that. But also, too, was how the which style of movement you prefer.
Makes sense.
I'm amused thinking back to earlier this evening. Justin and I had a little bit of a communication back and forth, and he expressed some concern over whether it would be enough here to fill time. And my reply to him was just kind of, oh, no, they'll talk. just let them go. They'll talk.
Yeah, just get into it with them. You know, throw a bucket of water on them, want them done. That's it.
But my big question at this point, you know, we've laid it all out. And of course, we encourage everybody to go to Kickstarter.com. The Marauder Task Force Gaming Figures is the official name of the project. And we'll throw this out to really everybody. I want to hear everybody's. What do you say to the person that is maybe hedging on this? You know, there's got to be somebody out there that thinks this is pretty cool. They haven't invested anything in it yet. What do you say to that person to get them in on this project?
Want me to go first?
Sure.
What I would say is, Marauder, we're one of you. Okay, from when we started this 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we've been just a collector there by your side. You know, we've made the items you've asked for. Some of them worked out fantastic. Some of them, oh my gosh, why'd we listen to that one? You know, but overall, it's what our supporters want, we've made. And that's where this project comes in line. We've heard about, I wish I could have a bunch of these guys. I wish I could have access to a figure that's really cool. It did cost, you know, $40, $50 a pop, and I could get quantity of them, and I could customize it the way they want. And I would just say that, you know, even when they're released on the site, they're not going to be that expensive compared to other items. And they are for the adult collector. They are for people who, you know, aren't going to damage their figures, but they're going to be sturdy. They're going to be ABS plastic, PVC, you know, rubber, and with all certain strong articulation points. But it's your chance to build your army the way you want. You don't got to set any rules. This way you can write your own story. You know, whatever. It's a blank canvas. You can go grab a guy and say, okay, this guy's going to be one of 95,000 guys I have, or I'm going to name him Bill. You know, it's up to you.
How about you, Dave?
Well, I would say, you know, to anybody out there who's thinking about it, but they're not quite sure, that if you love cool figures, you love really nicely articulated figures with lots of possibilities and options, this figure is perfect for you because it's got all that. It's got everything. It works great with Marauder's existing weapons. I don't know the exact number, but you can put this thing together many different ways. And it's really not just one of the, you know, 10 of the same figure, 20 of the same figure. Each one can be different and personalized, which makes it so cool. And, I also think that, you know, by helping out, like a small company like Marauder Gunrunners or a company like Boss Fight Studio, like we're you guys, you know, we're collectors who are trying to put out products, for like-minded individuals. And by helping smaller companies like us, and specifically in this case, John, Marauder John and the Marauder Task Force, get going and get off the ground, it's just going to mean more toys for everybody in the future.
That's it.
So Justin, as an outsider, what would you say?
As an outsider?
Yeah, as somebody who is not had a hand in designing.
Oh, gotcha.
Or, you know, you don't have a personal stake in this other than owning cool toys. What would you say to get people to get in on this?
Geez, what other motivation do you need besides owning cool toys? I mean, looking at the Kickstarter, I mean, it's everything that you want in a 4-inch action figure. A lot of great accessories, great articulation, great detail, tons of customizing potential. It's whether you're a collector, an army builder, whether you like to create your own stories, whether you like to swap your figures around and customize them, whether you like to display them in rows and rows of troops, this thing has got anything that you need. I mean, you can make each, as MJ said, you can make these each personalized however you want. You can just stock up and get tons of them. It's great. You're supporting, like they said, a couple of great small companies, you know, collector-focused and customer-focused companies. I've never seen companies at any size or scale that kind of interact with the fan base and with their customers the way that Boss Fight and Marauder do. It's amazing. I've been a supporter of Marauder since the very beginning, and I've had nothing but excellent dealings with them. Obviously, the folks behind Boss Fight Studios are always interacting with the collectors on Facebook through various methods, always eager to share geek out with their fellow fanboys and fangirls. And it's just, you're supporting a great bunch of people making great product that we all are asking for. So why wouldn't you kick in a little money? I mean, these guys are giving you what you want. You might as well show them some love for it.
Chuck, what would you say?
Actually, Mike, I can't put it any more eloquently than Justin did.
All right. Well, I'm going to be far less eloquent than anybody else and just say, if you have not contributed to this Kickstarter, you are insane. You are just flat-out committable. And you can't ask for anything more as a fan of either 4-inch action figures, as a fan of G.I. Joe, I think this is very much the spirit of what Kirk Bazygian and others were talking about with the 50th anniversary, how Hasbro's kind of taken a back seat in all of this. This is the fans. These are the fans grabbing the ball and running for the end zone. This is what he's talking about. It's this kind of spirit. It's this kind of ingenuity. This is a fantastic bunch of folks, and undoubtedly going to be a fantastic product, as they always have been in the past. We were joking around before the show got recording that I've been organizing some stuff since before JoeCon even, and I've actually got my bins with all my sorted Marauder guns in them, and I bought so many guns from him last year that now I need more figures to hold all the Marauder guns, and poof, there it was on March 31st, more figures to hold my Marauder gun. It's like he's inside my skull. You don't get any better than this.
But also, another thing I'd like to stress here, it's works with all lines, not just military, but also sci-fi and superhero, mm-hmm. depending on how you want to trick them out. And that's what something we've been trying to emphasize with the sci-fi folks is, you know, if you want, you know, this nameless faces, bad guy kind of arm, bad guys or good guys, these can do it. They're not just military. And that's from the get-go with Dave and the Boss Fight folks, we wanted a design that could go in any genre or fit any scenario required, just depending on the accessories and the colors you pick.
Yeah, I think these qualify for sure. Just the little bits of armor and the little, futuristic, some of the masks and gear and stuff. It really, you're exactly right. It kind of meshes military with science fiction perfectly.
Yeah, there's definitely the Halo influence going on. But so one other thing that I hear rumblings about going forward. Have you guys thought about? Oh, hey, number just went up. Somebody else is in.
Okay.
But 98266, ever right. Upward. We haven't even posted it yet. Look what we've done for you.
Are we streaming live right now?
We can pretend, yeah. We can pretend.
Man, the day we can do telethons is the day that I am the happiest podcaster in all of history.
I'm going to call you Jerry Lewis.
That's right. Believe me, if you know one guy who does this that could be maudlin with a disheveled bow tie, I'm that guy. But going forward, what do you guys think about vehicles, modular playsets, things like that?
Well, it's just, I'll just do for Fremondo part real quick, then I'll let David take it. It's just, it all comes down to resources. You know, there are so many great, wonderful ideas out there, but a lot of things are expensive. So would they love vehicles? Yes. Modular vehicles? Yes. Modular playsets? Yes. But, you know, 6-7 years ago, we were just really thinking, you know, just accessories. And then we said, well, let's try a modular weapon. Oh, then that worked. And now we're rolling into figures. How about a modular figure? So if everything continues to, you know, all the planets continue to line up and everything works out, yeah, I could see that. But again, it's still at baby steps. You're barely walking. That would be a full sprint run.
So no aircraft carriers on the horizon then from you, John. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so.
He doesn't think so, which means there's a chance.
I think David was going to say something.
Oh yeah, I was just going to say, just to be clear on this a little bit more, is that the Marauder Task Force figure is Marauder's baby here, and Boss Fight was very happy to help with him. And as long as, you know, if he decides to want to do playsets or accessories, and he would like to work with us on that, and he's got we would be happy to take his vision and execute it to the best of our ability, whatever product that is. On a side note, just from a Boss Fight Studio standpoint, we feel that, with our own stuff, we feel the same way John does. It's kind of like, we'd love to do the playsets, but it's like, you got to kind of walk before you can run, you know, and kind of start small and manageable. So maybe someday.
Yeah. I mean, and being a client of a Boss Fight, I mean, it's just, you know, they bring so much to the table. They steer you clear of a lot of, you know, as they're going through the figure and the design and the articulation is at the point, you know, they're able to steer me from, hey, you, that's not going to work because of this, or you might want to do this, or how about go down this avenue? And they do that for all their clients. And they're professional, they're incredibly talented, but also it comes down to there's a class organization. So that's what I want to stress, that they work with the clients, they understand what you want, and they bring their expertise to it. Just, it was a very smooth relationship.
So there you go. Boss Fight Studios, class individuals, and Eric Aranya.
You're too kind, John. Thank you.
Oh, no, it goes without saying. Every time. The worst part was some of the three-hour car trips I had to take. You know, other than that, everything was fine.
Could be worse. I think, Dave, you do some flights to China, don't you, to do what you got to do?
Yes, I have made a few of those, and that's a long trip, but we'll work it.
Counting down the days to roll out Roll Call 5.
Also a great trip.
But while we've got you, gentlemen, we're kind of winding it up here. Do you have any last thoughts, anything we haven't covered, anything else you want to plug? Really, the floor is yours, and just let us know.
From a Marauder standpoint, I think we've covered everything, that that this is a project. You know, we hope our fellow and adult action figure enthusiasts, you know, enjoy and see benefit to. But also, it just stemmed from, like, what we want with our own collection. And I keep coming back to that, but, you know, it's just like you're not going to go buy a car unless you want to see it in your driveway, okay? You're not going to buy a home unless you want to go live there, okay? And, like, when I walk in, when I see action figures and toys, I don't want to purchase that and bring it home unless I'm going to be proud to display it. And hopefully, working with Boss Fight, we'll be able to achieve a level that, and I can speak very glowingly of the product because it's not without sounding, you know, full of myself, because I didn't do it, okay? You know, I can go ooh and ah about it because I didn't. I told them what I wanted. I worked with them. I told them this. I explained about, you know, what I'd like to see in there, what would happen. But, you know, they just made an incredible item, and I can sit back and go, ooh, this is some of my posts. I'm very glowing about it, and it might come off as, oh, gee, he's really full of, you know, they're really full of it. I don't know. It's just, I'm a fan too, looking at this, oh my gosh, here's something we have that, where everything works out, will make it available for our fellow enthusiasts, and it is so cool. So, that's what I'm going to come back, that's what I'll leave with. It is just so cool. Thanks to the Boss Fight guys, but also, you know, from those, whatever you, you know, whatever you wanted inside to have happen in a figure that you could hold in your hand and pose and play with. Hopefully, you know, we're close to that.
I'd just like to thank John for giving us, you know, working with us on this project. We had a blast, and hopefully, the project's already funded. Hopefully, the funding can at least hit that Guerrero stretch goal there with the blue option. I think that's really cool. So hopefully there'll be many more things that we can work with Marauder Gunrunners in the future.
Especially after, because I didn't know about you. I heard about it. You told me, but I hadn't seen any pictures until the actual items. So, it's exciting.
even the immortal Marauder John, speechless.
Oh, I don't know about immortal or anything, but just ooh ah, you know.
It's funny, you know. People are complaining about 4-inch action figure fans or G.I. Joe fans kind of being left out in the cold for the 50th anniversary. But man, I can't think of a better time to be a fan of 4-inch action figures with these two lines on the horizon. Man, some really good stuff.
Oh, I'm just imagining the firefight I'm going to have with, you know, about 50 Spec Ops guys up against 3 Gorgons, you know?
I'm going to have
some armor done that's mirror so they can look in the armor as they're battling, you know?
Oh, nice. That sounds great.
Now you're going to have to do a turn to stone Spec Ops guy.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Maybe like the club did a couple of years ago with the morphing Zartan. You have a guy turning half to stone.
Oh, that'd be cool.
All right, we got another stretch goal that just.
Well, that it'll be something that starts with S. It'll be.
Oh, also for the Kickstarter, we're looking at a couple little special. We don't want to do exclusives because we don't want to have the items available. The big part of the Kickstarter is yes, you're getting a better value. You're getting you're getting the stuff ahead of time, and as a better deal. But we're looking at either a special gas mask. It's going to be like all gold with like a red visor made. Just for the number of supporters.
Oh, that's
so there are 800 supporters. Everyone's going to get one of these little gas masks. I'll put a little blister pack. There's a little header. Or a special balaclava with a special paint scheme on it. You know, maybe a big grin with teeth or fangs or something.
Oh, sweet.
That would just be only available. That would be an exclusive that wouldn't be available anywhere else. Just the people who support it. There's something, an additional thank you. You know, so I'm looking at three or four different items like that. Maybe all of them, maybe at least one of them, something that says, hey, yes, I support it, and I got a good deal, but what else do I get for participating? Well, here, get this item. You know,
yes. So. Love it. Again, orange balaclava. Make your own Tiger Force beachhead.
You said that, not me.
Well, that'll about wrap things up on this end. Chuck, you have any last thoughts?
No, you know, I just wish him a lot of luck, and I hope this carries on. You know, and that's about it.
Justin.
I'm good. I'm very thrilled you guys could come on. It's awesome to talk to you about this. It's been one of the big news stories of the past month or so, and very, very happy that you guys on such short notice came to share a little bit of the joy with us. And best of luck to you, MJ, and you know, really, really congratulations on the success of what we've seen so far. I think it's really a validation of your kind of marketing technique and your design aesthetic, as well as the pure talent and skills of the Boss Fight Studio folks. I think it really is a service to both of you, the reaction that's got on Kickstarter. It's certainly not an accident. It's not a fluke. It's you make a good product. You create a good name for yourself. You back it up with some real skills, and you're going to be successful, and I think this is proof of that, and I'm very glad to see it.
Thank you very much. That's nice.
Yeah, there's nothing but love in this project from MJ and Boss Fight and Kevin and Ruben and everybody involved. It's you can really tell that every single one of you just cares, put every ounce of talent that you had into it, and it really shows. And I know there's, like I said before, there's a bunch of you out there that are thinking, well, maybe this will get to where I want it to be, or maybe I want to up my bid. We've got until April 30 to make this happen. So regardless if this gets posted tomorrow or the day after, it'll be sometime in there. But April 30 is the day, 10:30 p.m. Central Time, 10:38 specifically. So late on the night of April 30 is when this thing shuts down and funds. Obviously, it's funded. We've got several stretch goals in the can. My challenge to you, the Joe community, let's go ahead and get up to that Irma Inez stretch goal at $165,000. Let's make that happen. Let's see the whole gamut. Let's get everything out there on the table, like MJ said earlier in the cast. Let's do this. This is awesome. And the opportunities to be a part of something that is this great do not happen every day. Yep. Shake the change out of the couch. you know, take out that fourth mortgage. No, don't take out the fourth mortgage. But, you know, maybe get rid of some of that stuff you've got that's just taking up space. And do something with it that you can be excited about as a toy collector, and pick something up that makes you feel like a little kid again. And that's really why we do this. And I think these guys have a handle on that better than just about anybody we talk to on a regular basis. So, again, thank you, Dave. Thank you, MJ, for coming in tonight and making this a great – you guys are like – you're like batteries. I always get charged up when I talk to you guys. And thanks again for tuning in to us here at What's On Joe Mind.